This is Pat Meltzer. Bernice Alperin and I are interviewing Mr. Stanley Rosenbaum today, March 16, 1987, for the National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Chapter, Oral History Project Phase 2. This is our second interview with Mr. Rosenbaum, and it's now about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mr. Rosenbaum, last time we talked was a while ago, and when Bernice and I went over our notes, we found that there were several things we had wanted to ask you about. First of all, we wondered about your father Walter's exact role in the Rosenbaum department store.
Yes, well, my father worked in the Rosenbaum company. That was his sole position. And he worked various capacities, including buyer, merchandiser, in charge of operations, and thus came through the ranks like apparently all who did who went into that type of business. And he rose to be president of the store eventually until 1938, when he left on his own. He was a member of the Chamber of Commerce in Pittsburgh and was active in that. He was also active in masonry. The merchants in Pittsburgh, who were very forward-looking, I believe I mentioned that I started, that they started the Retail Training Bureau. My father was very progressive in his thinking and was responsible for that end of the business and the training of people and the introducing of new equipment and sales technique into the store.
Well, thank you very much. I wonder if you could recall approximately when your father was born.
Uh, 1878.
And then about when you were born?
1906.
Okay. Some other information that I missed getting the last time was the do you remember the first name of your grandparents?
Yes, on my paternal side, yes.
Oh, good.
Max Rosenbaum and Sidoni Rosenbaum.
All right. I believe that you said your paternal grandfather was born in Bavaria and came to the United States.
Right.
What about your paternal grandmother? Grandmother on your father's side.
She also was born there.
But they were married here in the United States, although both were born in Bavaria.
No, I don't believe so. No, that they were born in Germany and came over because their children, even the oldest child, had to be born here.
All right, so they were married then?
Before they did.
Okay. And your maternal grandparents, your mother's grandparents, were they from the same part of Germany?
Yes, Germany.
Okay.
Both of them.
Do you remember your maternal grandparents' last names?
Hyman, H-E-Y-M-A-N-N.
Okay. And they were both from Germany, both born in Germany. Approximately when would you say?
1840s.
All right. That probably would jive with that. So when your parents came to the United States, the maternal grandparents stayed behind. Or
what is that again?
Okay. Your mother and father, as I understand it, were
they were both born
both
here.
Born in
yeah.
the United States. All right. So then the maternal grandparents certainly would have had to come to the United States. I don't know why I'm thinking about that. Okay.
The maternal grandfather was the New York City school principal.
Right.
Okay.
And what was his date of birth? Do you have any idea? The year? You don't know.
No, right. I guess 1840, because that was 30, 40 years later.
I don't think we have your birth date.
December 11, 1906.
Okay.
The last time we were talking, you also mentioned seeing one of your former grade school teachers, Gene Cameron, who was 93 years old.
Right.
Did you happen to see her at a reunion, or how did you...
No, I contacted her. I knew her. I knew where she lived. And I think I mentioned that we had a close relationship when I was going to grade school. That's where the friendship originated with between my mother and Miss Cameron.
Mm-hmm. Was Miss Cameron a Jewish lady by any chance?
No.
Okay. So I believe that you had indicated the last time we talked that for whatever reason there weren't many Jewish teachers, if any at all, in the Pittsburgh public school system at the time that you went to school.
Correct.
All right. So we think it's probably due to that. One other thing that I did want to ask you about before we go any further in reference to your father. You mentioned that he practiced Masonry. We're talking about Freemasonry.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know that much about Masonry, but was he in with the regular Mason group, or was there a separate Masonic order for Jewish people?
Yes. I'm not too familiar with Masonry myself because I didn't follow. No, he belonged to a regular Masonic lodge.
All right.
Became master of his lodge, and which was not unusual at that level.
Mm-hmm.
But there were certain types where Jews even were not admitted. But eventually, I believe most of those restrictions have fallen by the wayside.
I think so. My father happens to be a Mason,
yeah,
and was pretty active in the orders, and that's one of the reasons that I was wondering about that.
Well, there were many that joined. I joined a college fraternity. Joining secret organizations is a big thing.
All right. The next topic we're going to go on to is that of courtship and marriage. We had talked about your adolescent years and what you did for fun and recreation, where you went on dates and that sort of thing. When you met your wife, and would like to have your wife's name, was she someone from this particular area? Did you meet her through dating or family? Or how did those things
happen?
Well,
this is my second wife.
Okay.
How about
your first wife and your second wife? Is your first wife the biological mother of your children, Carol, for instance?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. That's right. We met her through social acquaintance, through families, knowing one another.
All right. So then you were married. Did you date for very long, or were you engaged for very long at that particular time?
Well, I knew her several years, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then you were married. I know you had Carol. Did you have any other children?
You mentioned Carol. Mm-hmm. I have a son, Stanley. Yes.
Okay. All right, fine.
He's younger. Carol is older. He was the firstborn.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you're presently married for the second time. How did that courtship and the whole thing differ from what happened the first time? Did you meet your second wife through acquaintances in the same...
I'd heard of her and met her, yes.
Mm-hmm. And
she had been in service. I didn't know her before. And when she came out of service, and I met her casually,
mm-hmm,
and mutual interest developed. And from that time on, at first I didn't pay any attention. She didn't pay any attention to me. But after a phone call or two, we got together, and that was it.
Okay. In terms of jobs, well, we discussed that pretty much. When you were married for the first time and just setting up house, was it usual for a young couple to go out on their own and have an apartment and then a home, or did they live with their families?
No, we didn't have to live with our families. We lived in an apartment when we were first married.
Mm-hmm. And then
at that time, most did, as far as I know. I mean, it depended on your circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm,
what you wanted to do.
You were married during the Depression.
You stayed home. That's right.
You doubled up many times.
Yes. Then I suppose that in terms of raising your children, probably your wife stayed at home and you went out into the job market?
Correct.
And you did things in that traditional way. Okay. I know it was, with some people, it seemed to be the case that they lived with their families and extended family and aunts and other people would help to raise the children, etc. In terms of your social life, and I'm speaking primarily of your first marriage during your younger years and your children, did you socialize primarily through the temple, through religious organizations, or do you suppose it was more business friends?
Purely on a social basis. The general group of people that we knew.
Mm-hmm. You knew them because they lived in the same neighborhood or went to services at the same time?
We had our own circle of friends. We had our own interests. We had a circle of friends. Dinners, going out, whatever it was.
Sure. Would you say that it's the same way with the second marriage, that you have your own circle of friends that you have met in the same general way and you socialize?
Yes.
In the same way?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Did you have any particularly memorable family vacations?
No, they all were good.
Did you?
So good.
Did you go to any particular, one particular place? Some people like to go back year after year.
No. Well, that was when you were younger and the families went only to certain places, like the shore,
mm-hmm.
those things you remember. No, we just picked a place and went.
Mm-hmm.
That was all. Tried them out.
Would you ordinarily take your children with you?
Yes, yes.
When they
that was one thing that we always planned to do. As long as we had the children, we were able to do it. That didn't mean that we didn't take a vacation once in a while, a weekend out at a hotel. We'd get away a little bit. But on major vacations, we always made it
mm-hmm.
a point to take. But we didn't take babies the way they take them today. Babies stayed at home, were able to have someone watch them, or you brought somebody in that you knew.
Mm-hmm.
But we never traveled with a year-old baby.
Do you have any special hobbies? I imagine now you might have more since you have a little more free time. But as you were, as a young adult in the middle years, during the time that you were working more actively and raising a family, did you have any particular hobbies then, would you say?
No, I never was a hobby man particularly. It was whatever we did, we did together, and but nobody got into a semi-professional field, or nobody
mm-hmm.
had a particular. Those things I felt would come later on in life, and we were too busy living.
Mm-hmm. Good. In terms of your neighborhood, when you and your wife were first married, of course, you had an apartment, and then I assume that you moved to a house. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. In this general area, would you say?
Squirrel Hill.
Squirrel
yes.
Hill?
Yes.
So then you, for the most part, you were raised here in Squirrel Hill.
Right.
And through both marriages, Squirrel Hill, Shadyside, that general
right.
location. Do you notice any major differences in this general neighborhood between the time, say, when you were first married as a young man and now?
No. Still a viable neighborhood.
Okay.
I can't notice any changes.
All right. So you think that the ethnic composition and the distribution of, well, socioeconomic level is still approximately the same as it was then?
Yes. What I'm saying is I know people moved out into the suburbs, they did this and that, but I'm not talking about the demographic statistics of the place. The thing always was a very viable area and very desirable.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever moved out simply vacated a place, and it wasn't too long before somebody else was glad to get in.
I think Pittsburgh this area of Pittsburgh is rather unique as compared to other locales.
Yes,
in that regard.
Some have changed drastically. For instance, Homewood. I understand there has been a drastic change
there. You
want
to see what happened there? The Pittsburgh, the Western Pennsylvania Historical Society, you know, has got a big deal going down there, the history of Homewood and the change
mm-hmm.
is very interesting.
Yes, I understand that that neighborhood, for instance, is totally different from the way it was.
Also, the history of Jews, the Jewish population, the historical society. Did you know that?
Yes. Yeah, I saw that.
Ah, very interesting. Would you say that this area has changed
things
very much?
Change.
In terms of its general political leanings, in other words, was this at one time a bastion of one party or the other?
Yes. Oh, sure. It was strongly Republican until the Depression. And then it went Democratic until, who was the first Republican president? Oh, Eisenhower. And then I think, mm-hmm. then there was a lull. And then Nixon came in. I think, oh yes, you had violent, not violent. Well, violent would be a good word for it. Everybody got excited. Mm-hmm. Yeah, strongly Republicans and then overwhelmingly Democratic. But when you're talking about Squirrel Hill, you're talking about the 14th Ward,
yes.
which is a big ward, mm-hmm. extends quite a distance. So it was drawn along mainly ethnic lines, although there were just as many liberal non-Jewish people as there were conservative Jews
mm-hmm.
compared to the liberal Jews.
Mm-hmm. This is just primarily from, you know, from your point of view as you see it, and this seems to be a fairly typical thing. Apparently some areas were strongly Republican, and then there was a major transition after the Depression.
We were Depression. Independent Republicans. I voted for more Democrats, I think, for bigger, larger offices than I did Republicans.
Uh-huh.
Until I got disenchanted.
I know you're very involved with many organizations now and also in the community. Has that always been the case, given your time limitations? I understand that. Or were you primarily just able to concentrate on your work and your family?
Well, in the retail business, it's a very time-consuming business. And between that and my family, I was not one that joined organizations and left the home too much.
Mm-hmm.
It was until I was on the verge of retiring that I became involved. And my major interest has been activity down at the Road of Sholem Temple. I've been involved in some other things. I've been involved in the 14th Ward Senior Advisory Committee up there. It started, and but that's all. I mean, I got involved as a committee man. My Lois and I became committee women and men, and we watched the polls, felt it was a civic duty to do, and we spent a couple of years freezing and perspiring at the polls. And that's been it.
I have to agree with you. I think it is your civic duty to do that. I know what you mean. I've had my share of doing
well,
that sort
we were
of thing
interested
too.
In my wife's father mm-hmm. was in, to a certain extent, was in politics. He was one of the assistant attorney generals of the state, and he was an avid Republican.
My, and, that's interesting. Approximately when was that he was?
In the 40s, I believe.
All right.
40s and 50s. I never knew him. He died before I became involved in the family.
Can I assume that your present wife is also from a Jewish background?
Yes.
Right, then I'm assuming that her father was also. So apparently even during the 40s it was possible for Jews to attain high political office. He was the attorney general of the
well,
state?
Well, no, he was assistant attorney
assistant.
General, yes.
Do you think that was about as far as he could realistically expect to go?
I can't venture an opinion on that. I think it would have to be. Well, as far as the times are concerned, that was a pretty good level. Now, you had Jewish judges.
Mm-hmm.
You had senators, representatives.
In the 40s?
Yeah, well, sure, in the
okay.
state legislature and in the federal government. Of course, in the federal government at that time, they were few and far between, but they were starting to
mm-hmm.
move in, or rather to get elected, let's say.
Mm-hmm. So it was possible for a person with actually a minority background to be elected here in the United States.
Yes.
A minority, I'm referring to, you know, Jews are a minority in the population.
Well, the governor of Chicago, I'm just digressing a little bit here. The reason I know it is because a very good friend of his lived here, I think, Governor Horner of Illinois in the 40s, 30s and 40s, I think, that he was Jewish, one of the few Jewish judges.
Lehman in New York.
Lehman in New York? Well, that was later, I think.
Yeah, during the Roosevelt era.
Was it? I don't know. There weren't too many.
We've talked a little bit about politics, and I was wondering about the war, I guess, especially the Second World War. You had mentioned a little bit about how some of the merchants felt that particular time around the start of the war. Were you, by any chance, drafted for the war? You weren't. Okay. You probably know some people who were drafted here in Pittsburgh. Was there any kind of concerted effort to have Jews join a particular branch of the service or not to join a particular branch?
There was no concerted effort. I think each individual made up his mind which he wanted to try to get in. How successful he would be depended on the luck of the draw once he got in.
Okay.
I don't know.
Fine. Then that's indicating, Dusty, things were fairly even-handed at that particular time in terms of that.
In terms of?
Drafting what? People for the war movement, entering particular branches of the service, people being discouraged or encouraged.
Well, from what I understand, they didn't have much choice. It was what branch of, after they got in, could apply, maybe, for certain areas, certain services, but not too many. Just wasn't done. Once you were put in some place, there you were.
All right. I think before you had mentioned your experiences during the Depression and your family, I got the feeling that your family wasn't too adversely affected by the Depression. In other words, they didn't all have to double up and people didn't have enough to eat and that sort of thing. I mean, everybody was adversely affected
right.
to a certain extent. And we also talked some about Prohibition, which seemed to be more a factor in your dating days than afterwards. We've talked about your business life with Rosenbaum. And the next thing we get to is your children, two children. Would you say that there was a very big difference in the way you raised your children versus the way you were raised? And we all know that this isn't just a family type thing, but you know, the whole environment at the particular time that you're being raised certainly impacts on the way in which your parents will raise you.
No, I would say that there was no difference. It was for want of a better word, a liberal way of raising. There was, of course, authority, parental authority, and discipline, and I don't think it was out of line or out of the way, and I don't think anybody that I know ever regretted the way they were raised.
Fine.
So when you try to compare it to today, there's not much of a comparison.
Things are very different. We were just wondering about from the time you were raised, the way you raised your children, but apparently it was basically the same. And you've
I don't know what you mean by how you raised me. There were certain, we believed in certain basic things instilled in a youngster. And no matter how much they might fight the parent, some of it rubbed off because they go back to the original, even though this is being recorded, the original thing. The mother says, my God, I can't stand so-and-so around the house. And then they get a telephone call from somebody. I can't tell you how well-behaved your child was. You remember, you ever get one of those calls? You know, so that some good rubs off. Mm-hmm. But I always figured if by the time they're 16 and 17, if they didn't have certain fundamental ethics ingrained in them, no matter what you did or how later on in life, it wouldn't make any difference. If they didn't know the difference between honesty and integrity and respect and so forth, They didn't know it then, they never would know it.
Sounds pretty much the way, same way you've described the attitude of your parents, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we weren't disciplinarians in that sense. It wasn't regimented the way you hear of some homes and you read, like, in our crowd, some of those people live, you know.
Do you have grandchildren?
That's the very next thing we're going to talk
about. Right.
I wondered if you could give us a sketch of your children's lives. As they were growing up, maybe what schools they attended, if they've married, if they have grandchildren.
Well.
Or if you have grandchildren, hopefully they
don't. Yeah, I've got grandchildren. I can't go too far because I was divorced, and my children then lived with my wife who remarried. So that after the children were 6 and 4, while I had visiting privileges, I didn't live with them. So I had no control over their upbringing. But I know that they were given the best of care and the best of education that was obtainable or within their capabilities. But our own youngster, we did the same thing, same with him. He had a normal life, went to Linden School, did fairly well, then went to Taylor Alderdice, did fairly well. Unfortunately, we lost him at an early age. But as far as anything in raising their children, education, our daughter graduated, Carol graduated from Winchester, I'm trying to think of the school she went to. Then she graduated Vassar. And my son Stanley went to Miss Kingham, but did not graduate. And that was the extent of their education.
Mm-hmm. Would you know if they had any type of formal religious education?
Yes. They went to Rhode Island Sunday School. I don't recall, strangely enough, whether they were confirmed or not. I'll have to check that, because at that time, well, I'd rather skip that part of it.
Okay. Okay, fine.
You're allowed.
It's of no value. All I can say is they've reformed. They're very active in the temple.
They certainly are, and they're active within the community. Did both of them marry?
Yes.
The two children from the first marriage, yes. I'm talking about. I know you said you lost your third child at a young age. Okay. Are they, it's usually fairly traditional for the man to be working outside the home, your son.
Come again?
Okay. Your son is not a house husband.
Oh, he's talking about the children.
Yes. A house husband. Some men now, perhaps for whatever reason, like to stay home and take care of the house and their wives' work. That isn't the usual way things happen. Most often, either the husband works and the wife stays home, or both of them work. What kind of a situation does your son have?
Well, he went to work and the wife stayed home. But they were in on the, I believe, would say, well, no, their children aren't that old. But both the children, my daughter and son, believed, and the men, you're talking about the men now, they stayed with the children. There was a close family relationship between the parents and the children. Wherever they went, the children went. And that's the way it has been. The father didn't play with the child at a set time or anything. If they went on vacation, or if the child had an activity, the father and the mother took it and helped them, you know, as they grew to the age where they could go to things on their own. But today you find the families and children are together much more. When I was younger, it was a mother who was the dominant factor in the home and was responsible for the raising of the children.
Things, that is true. Things do change. How many grandchildren did you say you had?
Four. But Carol has a boy and a girl, rather young adults. The boy is 22 and the girl is 20. The boy is graduating from Yale and the girl is going to Carnegie Mellon. Stanley has two younger children, one going to be 13 and the boy is going to be 11. The girl is going to be Bat Mitzvah in December.
Does Stanley still live here in the Pittsburgh area?
Yes, in Churchill at this point.
Oh, that isn't very far from here.
And Carol lives in the city.
Okay. The next topic we come to are religious observances, institutions, and organizations. And I think, Bernice, we've covered those fairly well, the religious institutions, et cetera. What, you're a member of Rodef Shalom. You seem to be quite active there. I think maybe you even said you were an officer.
Yeah, I'm on the Board of Trustees.
Board of Trustees. And I recall you're talking about the speakers also. Yeah.